Hi, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Meatgistics podcast. With me, as always, is Austin Walton. He looks a little bit different. We have Patrick with us. Patrick's our video editor and does a bunch of other things for us. And he's filling in for Austin today.
I'd say jack of all trades, but that's how we like positioned our new guy who's actually behind the camera now. So it's been a long time coming. Always try to want to do one of these, but now we're outside, something different. Needed someone to talk to.
Yep.
So yeah, we figured
Patrick's pushed us for a long time to be out in this back patio. I was always kind of scared of the sound, but the lighting back here is gorgeous. And with what we're doing today, I wanted to do this outside because I didn't want to hear it from everybody about the smell.
Oh, yeah. You'd have a mixed reaction for sure.
It would be an all negative reaction.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because I guess even people that like seafood, they're not going to get to have any.
Exactly. So what we have today, for those of you who are just listening, is we got a half bushel of Maryland blue crabs flown into us. We used a company called Crab Dynasty. Great shipping. The products were excellent. The crabs looked amazing. They all arrived live. So we then steamed them, and then I cleaned them and left them overnight in a mixture of olive oil, garlic, and you're supposed to use Italian parsley, but I didn't have any. Mm-hmm. So I just sprinkled some more Old Bay on it. And then we've got this huge mound of Old Bay, Captain's Bay, sorry.
Yeah.
Captain's Bay seasoning back here. And we're going to pick both the bodies and the claws. Claws, we're going to dip into this nice butter and buttery garlic rub mixture. And then the flesh.
That stuff's deadly on its own.
Very little.
Yeah.
So you have to know this seasoning well, because you can easily ruin something by putting too much of that buttery garlic rub on it.
That makes sense.
A little bit of that seasoning goes a long way. For the Captain's Bay, drench it. Just put as much as you want in that stuff.
I was reading the back of this. This one's kind of interesting. I mean, I love how they start with spices. Just tell us what's in it. Celery, ground mustard, paprika, salt, poppy seed, dehydrated garlic, maltodextrin, dextrose, and lemon oil. I mean, for what it is, very minimal amount of ingredients. It even throws in lemon right there at the end, though, too. But you really get a lot of the celery and paprika and stuff like that.
Yep. So what this is, and I even said it before, is this is their version of Old Bay. Old Bay is a seasoning that really popular on, at least on the East Coast, for seafood, specifically shellfish. And it had been a long time since I'd had it because I started using the Captain's Bay. And then I randomly found myself out of this at home. I was at the store, so I just figured I'll pick up some Old Bay. It'll be just as good. And it was so salty that I thought I was just misremembering, but I was talking to somebody on Meatgistics and they said, nope, they changed their formula, upped the salt, and basically ruined the product. So I'm very glad Excalibur has this Captain's Bay seasoning. You've never had crabs before, right?
Well, what are we talking about? That's the easy joke. No, so the running joke that I always tell people is that my mom would always go, oh, you wouldn't like seafood. Like, we'd go by Red Lobster. I'm like, what's in there? I go, what's lobster? And she's like, oh, you wouldn't like it. I go, oh, okay, I don't like seafood. And then, you know, John comes from East Coast. It's just like, how could you never have had this? I forgot what you even brought.
It was
that
lobster.
One day. Lobster, okay, yep. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is great. I mean, I've had lobster too. I've been in buffets and gone to Vegas and stuff. But being from Kansas, you're not around it enough to the point where I could really even pick up what's good from what's bad seafood.
Yeah.
So, yeah, something like this I've never really been exposed to, unless, like, I don't even want to say crawfish broil.
It's a similar thing. Now, these are Maryland blue crabs.
Nice.
This is something that was like a special thing we'd probably do about once a year. So this brings back a lot of memories for me, and I am ridiculously excited for this.
Well, show me how to crack into one.
Okay.
Like, say I got one of these guys.
So you got a claw.
Yeah.
First thing you want to do is we're going to hit it right there with this mallet.
Oh, no. We're on a glass table, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just don't crush it. Just whack. See. Oh, a little bit harder than that, sadly.
Hold on, here's a...
There you go.
And then
that should be cracked. Now you should just be able to break it.
Which part exactly?
So we're going to
Start with the little guy.
Open this. Oh.
Almost get a close-up
on
a tutorial.
That one didn't break all that well. Hold on. There we go.
Oh, okay. So. I just know this is going to end in disaster with this glass table.
All right, so now take that.
Okay.
Dump it into the butter and butter garlic mixture.
Yeah, and then hit it with some of this.
You can, okay. Yeah, or you just eat it that way.
something immediately hard like a shell in it.
Oh, is there? Yeah, there might be a little bit of shells in it.
Kind of got to sift it as you eat it.
Get rid of those hard shells.
Perfect setup. This day really couldn't have been better on a Friday. This is my first time on an actual podcast, so I have to keep remembering to face the microphone the correct way and stuff like that.
That's probably the biggest challenge. For me, what's going to be tough about this is all I want to do is eat these. I don't want to talk to anybody.
See, it's funny. You have me now, who I've been behind the camera going like, one of you guys should be talking right now as the other guy is eating. So I kind of, I've got to watch you guys for 52 episodes now before getting
was
in
front. Was it
really? Yeah. 52. There might be one kind of stuck in between the cracks where either
at least
John
we kept
sounds,
you off for a year.
Yeah, it's either John sounds like he's red pilling people on the podcast or I don't know. I always like the content rich ones, of course. Like if we really want to start I don't want to say shifting gears here, but like with stuff like the podcast and stuff like that, we want to start getting in a supplemental camera footage and like actually have a reason to do stuff and show you guys some cool stuff and maybe go above and beyond and be those like take crazy chances with sausages and meat and stuff like that and just kind of be a kind of a funner video.
Well, you kind of alluded to it, or you didn't allude to it. You talked about it earlier. We now have one extra person help us in here. We're bringing in another. So hopefully we can get back to doing some of the more in-depth how-to videos, like more informational, and some more of the fun videos.
Yeah, and a lot of that's just prep. Like, just even for this setup, like, it took... When we were out here the first 20 minutes, we're like, okay, it looks okay. And then we go, no, it doesn't. And it's like, it took a couple hours manipulating, just trial and error, and then, like, putting your gear in the way to almost... I always say this with regards to almost any project I'm doing, getting the gear out of the way.
Yep.
And I stole that from... I was interviewing a guy at some small town in Kansas, but he's Red Cat Recording Company and does a great job. But he was saying he does his best to keep the gear out of the way because at a certain point you can get that artificial sound and just not sound natural, right?
So when you say out of the way, you don't mean out of the shot, like
almost
how you would say get out of your own way,
exactly, because you're just trying to capture that cool illness moment. But you know that there's a certain like polish that's you don't want to pick up sometimes, right? You want it to be as like, listen, it's bare bones. It's us. We want to make it look good because we're in a certain year where high quality, high definition, you know, visual and audio matters, but we don't want to lose what we're doing. And that's just having a good time. Not doing a lot of outdoor barbecue stuff, but just sausage making in general and just, and really being informative, but it's so cool. And the visual medium is so awesome nowadays. We could just do so much and show a lot that's never been done before. So especially with regards to sausage making. So.
What I like about what we're kind of thinking about doing here is once a month or so, we're talking about doing a later in the evening podcast where we'll have some sort of like a smoked pork butt or something like that. So what we'll do is we'll cook that ahead of time. Then we'll start off the podcast or whatever we're going to call it. Maybe not even a podcast. Showing them the steps we took to get there.
Mm-hmm.
But then instead of waiting around while that smokes, we'll have the other one we did earlier.
Yep.
So we'll go right from preparing to the finished product.
It could be an awesome how-to, but like just also hanging out as you're smoking it with someone who's also smoking some meat.
Right.
Enjoying some drinks. It's a little bit later in the evening. You get some cigars going since we're outside and stuff like that. So really try to make it a fun kind of chill hangout podcast session thing.
Yeah.
So.
And let them meet some of the other people
totally,
who work
here
at Walton's.
Strip it down, but also present it in a way that's awesome. And I think people can really pick up on that and notice how different and cool we're trying to make that be.
Yeah. And we have tons of great personalities here who they haven't met.
Oh, totally.
Some of the commercial sales guys are hilarious.
Yeah.
We've got managers I still haven't met. I thought Andy would be here today. I was going to have him pop in, but he's not.
Good.
Andy's our, he is the head of inside sales.
I always joke. I go, what does that guy do around here? But he does, I'm sure, everything. So
just like everybody here, you do more than just one thing. I mean, when you started, we had you basically just editing videos.
Yeah, part-time. I was only here.
I forget about that.
I'd get here at like 9:30 or 10. Probably 10. I'd leave at like 3 with no lunch. And I'd just be like, all right, cool. See you guys. And I almost joked. That's how I kind of like got on full-time. Because we were looking for someone else to do like only social media.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin was in the room and I was joking. I was like, or you just make me full-time and I'll just do it. And he goes, oh, I was thinking about that. Literally 4 days later. met in his office and we just bought me full time. I was like, oh, that's how you do it. You just kind of go, yeah, I can actually do that.
You never get anything if you don't ask for it.
No, totally.
Nobody's going to hand you anything no matter where you are. You have to at least express some interest. And that's a good life lesson.
I should be eating a lot more.
You should be eating some of these at least. What I'm doing right now is I'm just picking a bunch of bodies.
Yeah.
So I get all the meat bodies out.
Oh, and then.
And then at some point just go through and get everything. Okay. So real quick, I'll run through the process on how we got here. First of all, I already said it. We ordered these from Crab Dynasty. They're in Maryland, which makes me feel real good that these are actual Maryland blue crabs. Overnight shipping, that was kind of the expensive part. The half bushel by itself wasn't anything I would consider ridiculous. It's shellfish, so it's fairly pricey.
Wait, this is shellfish?
Are you going to start blowing up?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Where's your EpiPen? No. So the shipping was expensive, for sure. So they got here, they were alive. I put a big pot of boiling water with a steamer attachment to it, put salt in the water so that the water could get as hot as possible. Then I killed the crabs before I put them in. If I was boiling them, I wouldn't have worried about that. Mm. But when you're steaming them, you know, I'm not some huge, I'm not a sissy, but I don't want to cause anything on even a crab, which is basically a bug. I don't want to cause an undue suffering.
I was making the argument yesterday they're aliens.
So, you could make that argument.
Yeah.
I mean, crabs. Yeah, sorry for that noise in the back, guys. But crabs are a little bit more similar to like an arachnid of some sort. But there's that theory that octopus.
Oh, dude.
Because them and squid and cuttlefish, there's nothing else like them at all.
But cuttlefish, God, this is so messy. I love these things just flavor wise, but just the amount of mess and stuff.
Oh, it's
like
insane.
That. But yeah, dude, that octopus, they even did a documentary where he visited the same octopus every day.
Is that my teacher octopus?
My octopus something. Teacher? I don't know.
I can't.
It got nominated.
I can't click on that.
Really?
I keep seeing it and I'm like, that's just the stupidest title I've ever heard.
Dude, as someone that does videos, I couldn't imagine the stress of like trying to frame a shot with you and an octopus in it.
Yeah, right?
God, I'm assuming he's got a team, but he might be like Survivor Man and just go out on his own and move the tripod around.
Well, it's even worse than that, because not only do you have to worry about getting the shot, making sure all your equipment's working, but constant threat of getting eaten by a shark.
Or something swimming up where you don't want it to, and then like, oh, take you out from the inside out. Oh, I got a bacterial infection or something. Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's so many mysteries with the ocean and just,
A friend of mine just took his, how old is she? She's probably 6 or 7. She might be a little bit older than that. I have no idea what age kids are. Like, you could introduce me to a kid.
That's
like,
a good problem.
It's either 4 or 14. I don't know. But they took her to get qualified for scuba.
Oh, nice.
And so they went. With a bunch of really experienced people. And
quick,
she was...
Quick, what does scuba stand for?
Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Nice. All right, we can continue.
And she was already pretty nervous about it, I guess. And they went down. They were down there for a good amount of time. Everything was fine. They all had onboard, or, you know, whatever, the computers that tell you how quick to come up. Ooh. And one of the guys still got the bends.
Imagine the first guy to figure that out. Like, man, these guys keep dying. They just keep going up too quick. You know what I mean? Jeez.
What was the name of the movie? I want my 10 steps, Cookie.
I don't know, man.
Men of Honor.
Oh, okay.
With
Cuba Gooding Jr. and where they're Robert.
Deep diving.
Yeah.
So I think they knew of it back then.
Dude, I would freak out so hard. Just, I mean, it's so funny. You say she was 14 or something like that. Just have her listen to the Cowboy Cerrone story.
No, thank you.
Just close your eyes and imagine me in the ocean and kind of able to breathe. Oh.
And then, I mean, he basically, at one point, he left him.
Oh, had to.
And then he had to turn around.
Did that guy ever make it out?
Oh, yeah. Yo, Cowboy went back for him.
Oh, man.
So what we're talking about is Cowboy Cerrone.
We're just ripping someone else's awesome podcast story.
Right, but we'll just tell a story.
It's an homage.
He's a MMA fighter. He was cave diving with somebody who I guess wasn't that experienced. And he said that the cave diving instructors will tell you, if something happens, leave the person because it's better one person should die than two, and you're most likely going to die.
I'm having a bad time with these crabs. Huh?
So with the what?
I can't get enough meat out.
So, all right, let's.
I'm inexperienced.
Let me finish this story and then I'll show you.
Yes.
So a guy was following a guide rope. He started kicking up all this silt. They could see literally nothing when the guy was panicking. He knocked the regulator out of his mouth. So he got away and started leaving and realized he couldn't do it and went back for him and got him and they both lived. Okay. So here's how you do it. You crack it in half so you have half a body.
Okay.
You want to remove the big claw first if it's not already gone. That's they're usually right gone. Here, no, right? that's the rear flipper.
Okay.
So you've so got the gone. Flipper, you've got the feelers or the other ones, and then you've got the claw.
So mine, okay.
So when you have it in half, grab the flipper as close to the base of the body as you can and get it and pull. Sometimes you'll get a nice chunk with it like that. Sometimes you won't. If you don't, then take the part of the body that you just pulled that flipper from, put your hands in between it and push down. Just like that. Nice. That's going to give you, if you'll notice, all of it's in kind of like runs. Some of them are straight, some of them are at an angle. So if you just keep peeling the body apart, you can push those out without too much issue.
So obviously the hard part, I mean, the literal hard parts of them aren't edible. Is there anything I should be looking out for that is soft and malleable that I should not be eating?
Nope. Nope. And you can eat the cartilage.
Oh, cool.
As a kid, I used to, half the time, I'd not want to do this. So I just throw the whole thing in my mouth and basically gum it. Yep. And either eat or spit out those. Good job.
Gotta love these things. But, what are these called on the side?
It's not Max Pack. Mini and Max
Trash Can.
Longo Pack. Longo Packs. And these things are
it
awesome.
Just keeps going and going and going.
So you can make a garbage bag as long or as short as you need to. And it comes with zip ties. So when you're done with a bag, you just zip tie the top, and that is the beginning of the next bag. It is genius. When I was working in customer service when we first got these, and I never thought I'd be excited at all about a trash system, but we talked about that thing so much to our customers. It was absolutely insane because it's awesome.
It really is.
Genius, easy technology.
Our old graphics manager, she used to have
in her kitchen, which, I mean, I could see that. Yeah. And they sell them where you can get them on like wall hangers.
Well, they have bigger diameters too than this.
They do. Yeah, that's the mini. That's just what we use in our kitchen. So as you can see, I've got a pretty decent little pile here.
Go for it. I'm neglecting that butter. Eating as,
oh, well, the butter really only works with the claws.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it'll work with this, but how are you going to get it in?
I'm just spooning it on, yeah.
Right.
So I'm eating pizza with a fork over here. Ew.
That's terrible. I don't even know if we should be making jokes about that. So, sadly, we'll tell this story a little bit.
Real quick, though.
Go.
Anything in these guys?
So, there is. Can get some meat out of the feelers, but it's not much.
They have a rolling
so
pin.
So, what you do is you push down near the bottom joint. You push on it, and you squeeze it up almost like toothpaste, and you'll get some stuff out of it.
But, yeah.
Is it worth it? It depends on how many you have. We have enough here where I'm not terribly concerned with the feelers.
Nice. So what else do we got on the agenda to talk about today? We're just going to all these crabs?
Yeah, pretty much. But I wanted to talk about why you're here.
Oh, yeah. Well, my parents fell in love, or I like to think so, right?
No.
Oh, that's not
Not that far back.
Oh, no.
Not that far back.
What's Dr. Evil's? He goes, my child is inconsequential.
So it was supposed to be Austin.
Yes.
But about an hour before we were getting ready to go, we had a major IT issue.
Yep.
So he is busy dealing with that. And Austin is also the reason that I got these crabs because we were talking on Meatgistics, and Austin's the reason I got these crabs. Thanks. We were talking on Meatgistics and it came out that he hadn't had them. A bunch of people hadn't had them. So
it was, you're like, oh my God, you guys have.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Getting to watch you eat your first real homemade lobster tail.
Yeah.
was a nice moment for me.
Yeah. I mean,
saw the happiness.
It was great. It was cool. I remember that. We had the different, you know,
I believe set up. The words that came out of your mouth was, oh, that might be the best thing I've ever
had.
Yeah,
that was, yeah. It's hard to, because you can remember the flavor, but it's almost hard to remember the texture.
Sure. Yep.
Like you can get there with the zip, but yeah.
They say smell and taste are the two things that most you link things to the most.
Yeah.
It's like, you ever smelled something that reminds you of your childhood?
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. All the time. All the time.
I say it's like the strongest correlation is memory and smell.
I'm always the guy that's like, oh, this smells like my first grade hallway.
Yep.
Like, there's just something about certain newness, new smells when you happen upon them.
Whenever I smell like a mustiness, I immediately think of one of my friends' camps that we used to go to in the summer. Just takes me right back there.
My dad wears Old Spice every time I get a whiff of one of the old style Old Spice.
Right.
I use old.
Do they still make that?
I don't know.
The original?
Like I said, I use words like old, but I was born in 1991. So take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, stuff like that. God, whatever. What was I bringing up the other day? I'm always like, because I had COVID months and months ago, and I'm still like, my flavor profile will go, or taste buds rather, just up and down. One day I can taste everything. The other day I'm at 40%. Other day I'm at 60%. And it's weird, but I'll be on the highway, on the work, right? On the way to work. And then suddenly I'm like, oh, that tastes like pizza I had at Discovery Zone when I was 9 once. Out of nowhere. But like you're saying, I 100% agree with that correlation. Smell and memory just tied together like nothing else.
So no matter what happens, we'll be thinking of this job the rest of our lives.
Yeah, just all those different tastes. And, yeah.
Constantly smelling different things, tasting new things.
Yeah. What sucks for me right now is like, we had the, you tried a new snack stick seasoning the other day, and I couldn't really pick up the nuance of the flavor, because I would go to like the tip of the tongue for like, oh, is there a little bit more saltiness here, and really try to tell you what I think about it. And I just can't do that. As much as I want to, yeah.
That's amazing that you're still having those issues. I thought we said we were going to do the burnt orange challenge on
you.
We just keep forgetting.
It came back and then it didn't. Yeah. It came back.
And crazy things keep happening here.
Oh, my God, yeah. We haven't had a normal week in at least the last 6-7 weeks.
I would say way longer
even
than
personally
that.
For me, I had my back issues and stuff like that. Yep. And we've just kind of had been going through the ringer here. But
I mean, that is life.
Overcoming, yeah.
My wife and I talk about it all the time. Like, as long as no matter what happens, we can stay like on the same page and we can keep moving forward, that's a win.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't matter how bad your day was, if at the end of the day you're still going, that's a win.
It's perception too of your day. You can have a bad day and be like, oh, I learned a lot of stuff, you know, and be ready for the next day, instead of like, man, today really, really sucked, and then carry that energy into tomorrow,
and then
that does no one any good.
Nope.
I mean, it's easier said than done, though, right? You know, but you gotta do your best. So
yeah, so one of the things I've been doing,
but we're giving life advice while eating crabs on the back porch while clocked in, mind you. Take everything we're saying with a grain of salt.
So what are you saying? You think that this is pretentious, or
no, hold on,
it's lucky is what it is.
I'm gonna pull up my phone and remind myself to Google pretentious later.
So I always tell people when I try to explain my job that you could be a beer taster for the best brewery in the world and you're still going to have bad days.
Yeah.
Like, I'm incredibly lucky. I absolutely adore my job. The bad days are few and far between. But with the launching of the website, with being down a person for a while, with somebody else being out for a long time, it gets to you. There's, you know, I used to love just talking to everybody on Meatgistics, answering all those questions, and Austin took care of all like the responsible stuff. So I got to pretty much just do what I wanted to do.
Yep.
Those days have gone away.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Our department's one of those, like, we'll have stuff lined up that we want to do and accomplish, whether it's in, you know, a big lofty goal of like a new style video or something we want to have immediately done. But it's like you, there's, John's busy a lot of the day. You really have to kind of will yourself to want to take on task and think of like, cause we have an awesome studio kitchen and we have product to shoot sometimes. So we just kind of got to like, okay, how can I make this look cool?
Right.
How can I squeeze the most out of this without being told, hey, let's go get that. So, but that kind of comes with having a media background and communications and stuff like that. So, but yeah, fun department, way different than any other job I've ever had. So
yeah, I honestly don't think there are a ton of jobs like this out there.
No, I mean, I like the Wichita for, it's an up and coming, kind of broadcasting communications. I don't know if you use the word mecca, but a hub for sure, especially with like the independent film stuff that just happens downtown on, a couple events each year. So, yeah, it's good for that. It's growing, but there is a small amount of, like media focused departments downtown that then, there's some big fish down there for sure.
Oh, but, sure.
And then you could, I mean, there's the real high end guys from the guys that are, I mean, the wannabes at this point. And then I think the next 10 years, we'll really see a difference in the guys getting a stronghold versus the guys that tried and just failed. I mean, you know, respectfully failed, but.
So what's causing that? Why is there so many small media companies in Wichita?
I don't know.
There's a lot of money in Wichita.
There is. I think it's one of the best kept secrets in the state for sure. I mean, not in the state, but in the Midwest.
Midwest.
Yeah. I mean, people, when you tell them it's the biggest city in the state, they just don't even know. But yeah, I don't know. Our downtown just kind of,
That one's juicy.
Our downtown's kind of gone for it with regards to film and just stuff like that. And I like seeing that. But like I said, jobs like this, hard to find. They always push you towards news and journalism too. Yeah, well, definitely when I went to school, I went to Wichita State right down the street, and they're pushing everyone towards journalism. And I guess that's okay if it means to an end, but for me, it wasn't exactly what I was going for. I'd rather be live production over news, because there is something to be said for, especially in media, like if you're working on your... It's easier to go to work, get footage and edit it there and stuff like that, and then come home and not think about it, because it is one of those jobs where you could really spill over into your personal time because you're constantly trying to think of a new idea or a new project and stuff like that. So I've realized I really like that. Journalism would have been weird because you're packing like these, like, I don't want to say meaningless stories, but you're trying to get like
clicks.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to get those 15-second things, when regardless of if it's, you know, we have a news report with it or not, but just there's a like a dog race or something that's fun. And she's like, what am I doing? But the turnaround time for that is ridiculous. You have to go and shoot and get it regardless
right
of weather
away.
And stuff.
Yep.
Bring it back. But then you have to edit to someone that writes it. The reporter, they write that stuff. And then you edit to their script. And then you spit it out. And then it's ready to go by the time 5 o'clock news comes on.
So the cameraman in local news is also responsible for editing?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yep. Yeah, you're kind of an all-in-one guy. You go out with your audio video pack, and then you go and get your stuff, and then sometimes it's live.
Now, you do a lot more. Talk about your live jobs that you do here in Wichita.
Oh, yeah. So, pretty cool side gig of mine started before I was at Walton's, where it's called Black Fox Media Crew, and we have, I think a boss has a contract for the Wichita State games. So, all the Shocker, anything and everything, I get to do the replay for. It's called 3Play. It's on a system called New Tech, I think, or something like that. But real expensive stuff, because we looked into it live broadcasting. It's just a different beast. But, do that. That's a lot of fun. I try to stick those on Friday and Saturday, so I get to catch all the baseball games and stuff like that. And
it's pretty awesome.
It's cool. You're rubbing shoulders with the who's who of the live production guys in town. And I also do hockey games at Interest Bank Arena for anyone who knows the area. Yeah, a lot of fun. I get to kind of best seat in the house for one of my favorite teams. So can't go wrong. It looks great on a resume. I know that was one of the major reasons I got on here. But
yeah, we figured if you were able to handle that stuff live, you'd be able to handle making a couple camera switches of mine.
Yeah. And
now, one of the things you said there when you're talking about if you went into media and, you'd be doing this dog story and you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
We definitely, not so much anymore, but back around the time you came into the department, we definitely had those days, and I had those thoughts for myself when I was doing like the 30th Willet Barbecue when we were just looking for something to do and we just wanted a video to produce. Yeah. Occasionally we do it. I'm like, am I adding any value?
It's
like,
yeah.
What am I doing? Like the how-to videos obviously have a purpose. Mm-hmm. A, they're making sure that whoever buys our products has an easy way to find a resource to make the most out of their purchase. And really, I mean, that is what it's about, because a customer who has all the information they need is going to be a happy customer, and a happy customer is going to be a repeat customer. So those totally make sense. Plus, I mean, all of the search engine optimization stuff we're able to do from those is enormous and helps us dramatically. If you go, you know, how to make snack sticks, Meatgistics on Google, Meatgistics is, I think, the first.
Yeah.
I think it's the first one. Now, there are some other ones where it's a little harder to get in there, like how to make sausage. All of those are a little bit more difficult.
There's certain things we want to be top two and three on.
So, I mean, that's going to be part of what we bring this new person in for. They're not an expert on search engine optimization, but they're going to become one.
Yeah. We just need to bridge that gap between what we're doing and the consumer looking for us. So.
Sure. And that, I mean, obviously we love our Meatgistics community. It's incredibly valuable resource for us, and especially now that everybody's helping each other there. I mean, I popped in today when our internet went down just on my phone for a while and was answering some stuff. But there's very, very rarely a time where I'm actually needed where it's like this requires a official response, or you know, it's questions too hard, because we have people on there who are clearly experts.
Yeah,
like they could really, I honestly believe a lot of our Meatgistics users could walk into any medium-sized processing plant and know as much as almost anyone else in there. I mean, there is a ton of knowledge in that.
Well, it's funny, I wonder if it was just only me, but I remember when I sat down for an interview here and you guys I remember getting the full spiel and I go, so you guys don't sell meat. Like that's like the initial thing. So once you get your head wrapped around that and what we really do, it still took me even like 6 months or so to really kind of like take that step back and like, what are we? What are we trying to present? Cause you can get lost in it. I was even telling our new guy, like if you're just being told to, not that that's what you were doing, but edit this. And we did 45 videos in my first 30-ish days.
Yep.
And you're stuck down there in the muck with the machete and you're just like editing. You don't know what the big picture is. And so it takes working here for 6 months, a year, 2 years to really even see like, hey, we can do as much as we want. We have the tools. We just have to funnel it in a way that's informative.
Yep.
And that's awesome to look at. So it's on us to just, you know, plan all this stuff out. And like I was saying earlier, just come up with awesome stuff to help bridge that gap and just do our best to tell you guys what these guys already know. I mean, how to make sausage, how to make jerky, how to do snack sticks at a high efficient level with our equipment that we also have the expertise on. So I think we do a good, you know, stop gap between us and people trying to actually do all that stuff every weekend.
Yep.
So.
You said it once, and I don't remember how long ago, but you said these jobs, like jobs in our department, are pretty much what you make of them.
Yeah.
Like you can do just the bare minimum. And if you're getting your work done and you're doing what I need you to do, I'm not going to ride you too hard about that. But for the people who go above and beyond and just take initiative and start doing things, it's obviously.
Well, you'll see a certain type of employee of someone who wants to be told what to do in a day and doesn't want to think about work. Like I was saying, they want to go home and not even think about it. Or there's the person that's like, I like what you're doing, but they're steering the ship, so to speak, in incremental changes, right? You don't want to do anything drastic, but you have to have an overseer for what the entire giant viewpoint is.
So. Right. Cause you have to have one person who has a vision and understands how to get those boats all lined up.
Exactly. Cause you can have like, it hasn't happened yet, but it's one of those things you have to keep an eye on. Like, especially with our department, we could have too many cooks in the kitchen at a certain point. And there has to be a flow of who's the final decision maker and stuff like that. Because if there's someone, I think I was telling John the other day, where it's just like, we can have this awesome shiny toy, but if someone who we don't know like slaps a sticker on the side of it, we're like, what the heck is that? What is that for? Why is that there? It's an eyesore at a certain point. And
right.
It's just like, we all have to be on the same page as far as like brand awareness and guidelines. And yeah, it, I mean, it sounds weird, but like we're stripping down the, like what a company thinks about before they present and put anything out. Like we have to ask ourselves these questions, like, is it going to be perceived as this?
Yep.
Is it going to be the font? Is it readable? Like there's all these like just common sense questions. And then you have to compartmentalize all these deeper questions just with what we put out there.
When you and I are trying to come up with a new ad campaign, something like that, we've said it a million times. Part of me wishes we sold
one thing. Yeah.
Cause it'd be so much easier to advertise thing.
And I'm going to ask everyone the next time you're watching commercials, whether on TV or the internet, ask yourself, what product are they selling? It's not going to be a lot. Like I said, Walmart has commercials, but Walmart is they're not showing products. They're showing employees and a smiley face and a sign and a building. Like we know what they sell at Walmart.
Right.
So it's funny, like a company like us, who we sell how many different items?
We stock over 5,000.
Yeah. It's tough because I always get like, I love Arby's commercials, but they sell roast beef sandwiches.
Right.
Yeah. And, but I was going to ask everyone, I was like, go and the next commercial you see if it's how big of a player they are in the game. Like if it's a Coca-Cola commercial, if it's a Sprite commercial, if it's.
Okay. So you're saying those companies are no longer pushing a product. They're pushing their
name. Yeah. Okay. And then they might once in a while, if they're a new product, but yeah, all the commercials I see, like I was watching the NBA playoffs the other day. Commercial comes on, it's like it's Coca-Cola, it's Energizer, it's stuff we already know the name of.
Okay.
That we're not learning about. We're trying to, it's hard for us because we're trying to tell people who we are and what we are in 30 seconds while also trying to have the current vibe of commercials nowadays. And the current vibe of commercials nowadays is that you know who we are.
Right.
We're trying to think of something fun and interesting. Like you hear a Jack Link's beef jerky commercial coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
There's certain things, but once again, you point at the biggest players in the game. They also have put the most money towards advertisement. And I was thinking about it the other day. I go, why wouldn't they? Why would they want second, third, fourth, fifth place spending more money on them and promoting more than them? You know, they want to bury them.
Doesn't matter though on certain things. Like I think of Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Diet Coke is the soda that I drink.
Yeah.
No amount of advertising from Pepsi is going to switch that.
I don't know. Yeah.
So is it all about getting like the younger,
like
forming that tight bond? And one other thing, while, you know, we're not
an expert at any of this. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're also not experts at that. But I mean, with the type of TV shows that we advertise on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and we already have kind of started just assuming they know who we are.
Yeah.
We don't really need to introduce Waltons anymore. Those people know who we are.
And that was part of one of our strategies where we were like, listen, first one or two.
See, we do have strategies occasionally.
Well, yeah.
Occasionally.
We have meetings all the time. Our first little bit, we wanted to really hold everyone's hand and like, hey, here's what we are, here's what we do. And then we were like, okay, well, a lot of these commercials, let's have a package of four of them with the same vibe and then those play. So that way we were able to show, hey, here's what we are. And then here's a little sneak peek of what we're about.
Yep.
And then for us, like I said, what equipment, packaging, seasoning, and casings. Yeah. Yep. Supplies might even be better on the moniker, but it might be the same thing as equipment. But we want to promote all those. And like I said, we also sell barbecue accessories, but that's not our bag. We don't, you know, so we want to really push.
We carry barbecue accessories and things like that as a convenience.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not anything we focus on, really.
So then we did that one, assuming everyone knew who we were. And then so that's our next one. The next one we do, we're just going to hit the ground running. You know who we are and exactly what we're doing. So.
And it might be confusing to like the random person who doesn't watch a lot of the shows we advertise on.
Yeah.
But
well, I think it's
even
also
that has an advantage if we make them curious.
I think it's also giving us a chance to like curate our own material, because we've only had like we have a handful of commercials out there since I've been here. There's only really been two major campaigns, so to speak. So we're still on the fly seeing what works for us. Like there's some things of the last commercial we did I love. There's some things I hate now after watching it for a few months. You know,
you're talking
what I
mean? About the series we shot at my house.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So but it's learning from your own successes and failures, right? It's not like we finished that video and never put a bow on it and never thought, really kind of have to constantly, you know, play devil's advocate with your own stuff. Otherwise, there's no room for growth, I think. So,
and for anyone who wants to know where you could see these amazing advertisements, these really, these creations of art. We advertise with Ron Shera. They do a lot, Talk North Network. So they have The Flush, Made for the Outdoors, Minnesota Bound, Polaris.
Yeah, Rescue Polaris, is that them?
Destination Polaris.
Destination. Rescue, so, that'd be a whole different vibe.
That would be a whole different vibe.
Don't steal that idea. Intellectually, I'm owning it now. But yeah, those are great guys. Great slew of other programs we're with and stuff like that. And yeah, it's weird because like we'll talk to people locally and it's just like they never heard of us. I'm just like, well, it's not really. I mean, target market, target demo, area of country, time of year. Like there's a lot of things that have to go into it.
So I was talking, I went to that Wind Surge game last night.
Oh, yeah. Local team for us affiliated with the Minnesota Twins, but it's their inaugural season finally after COVID. So
first of all, unbelievable stadium.
Yeah,
it's I got mean, absolutely
awesome. They're really cleaning up that area downtown. It looks phenomenal.
Great. But I was the guy who invited us, he brought somebody with him. And we were talking back and forth, and he's like, I don't know. He's like, not all things barbecue? And I'm like, not all things.
No.
Like, we do totally separate thing from them. Barbecue is like a 2%.
Yeah.
For the size of our company or for how quickly it's growing, we have a very low profile in Wichita.
Definitely.
In fact, I would almost argue that if you went up to like Minnesota, we might have, or some other big, really big hunting place, we'd probably have a bigger name recognition there, at least as big.
I agree. Because I'm always thinking of like, how can we throw Walton's on the outfield in one of the, like at the Wind Surge game. I'm just like, it's just not there for us for that tie-in and for what it would be worth. I mean, I think it's great. I love the local baseball feel and stuff like that. But I'm with you on, if we were in Minnesota, it's just a different vibe for us. And like I said, the layman's guy around here, right? He's going to hear about the barbecue stuff, right? Everyone around here is a barbecue aficionado, at least one summer. I know a bunch of them. And then, which is great. They'll get out there, start cooking, realizing how easy smoking meat actually is. And then you get in your own rhythm with it. It's awesome.
Can be.
Yeah.
Can be hard too.
And,
But I found out what it costs for just a little sign at that stadium. There's no way we would do it.
Like I said, for what it would do for us, people would Google it and they go, oh, I don't do that.
Right. Don't care.
And yeah, like I said, I want the people around here to start making their own stuff, but a guy in Minnesota who goes hunting X amount of times, he's going to be making his own sausage and jerky and all that stuff, or just more likely to.
And to be fair, I mean, we do have a very decent amount of hunters down here.
Oh, for sure.
But it doesn't seem to be as ingrained in people here as it is up there. All right. So, Patrick, why don't you tell them what we've got coming up?
I love how I was like looking at my watch like I'm bored with you already. Upcoming stuff. We shot some awesome footage with a gentleman named James. I think his last name is Richard.
The winner.
Yeah. He won our state contest 2 years ago. We would have had it last year, but COVID. And yeah, he came and helped us get some awesome B-roll, did a little sit-down thing with him. Might try to export one of those and see what they look like. Might start a new series like that. But on the front burner right now, we have something called Walton's Road Trip. I love how I almost channeled my voiceover there. Walton's Road Trip.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Patrick is the voice of Walton's advertising.
I just bumped John out of the way.
We've determined
what happened was he was too busy and I couldn't go, hey, I need you for 3 minutes at a time. So Walton's Road Trip, we thought it'd be cool to get a little bit more of like, so we have like a Chicago broad and a, what else we got? Philly, Sheboygan. Yeah. We figured we can really kind of tie in a little bit more of local affair with sausages and stuff. So we got kind of like a neat little graphic at the intro and it'll show a US map and get down and give you little details and have a little finished shot of it and stuff. And yeah, I want to aim for like the videos to be like 3-4 minutes, just really give you the nuts and bolts of everything you need to create that exact broth. Maybe a touch of a history of like how it became so popular and stuff like that. But
that's just, really big one is, we want to show you how to make it exactly how they would make it
within the region.
a lot of the times on things we do, like our Lebanon bologna, things like that, it's not exactly how they would make it there.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to get you reasonably close with minimal fuss.
Yeah.
With the Lebanon bologna, if you ask me, it's basically the same. But there are other things that they would do it a little bit differently somewhere, but it's way more intensive to do it, like time intensive or even resource intensive to do it that way. This is going to be like, this is how they would do it there.
Yeah.
If they used veal or if they use veal, we're going to use veal. If they do a 50-50 split, that's what we're going to do. So it's more authentic.
Oh, yeah.
And gives us a chance to spotlight some seasonings that don't get a lot of love, but should, like the jambalaya broth.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that one. And like I say, it's just like, I'm always asking like, well, how did it get to the region? Like, I think it's cool to do a little bit of backstory. We're still trying to figure out the details of like what people would want to see, whether that's pictures of the region or like, I don't know. Every time like I hear of like history with something, it's like the B-roll cuts and it's like old animated shots why he's talking about it over. But I don't want that. So we'll have to really think of what we want. But
figure out a way to get that in there.
Could branch into then a global one. So we're going to see how the nation one does. Do about 8 of those, I think.
Yep.
Do a little road trip. And then if we like it and you guys are receptive to it, we might do a global one.
Yeah, we'll do this one's road trip. That one would be Walton's World Tour.
Yeah.
So.
And then that one will probably have a different graphic with the globe. So
any chance that I have to get in alliteration.
Yes.
I will always do.
I don't mind.
So Walton's World, anything.
Yeah. And then I love to see like the creative process. Like he's like, as long as we can get alliterations, that's great. And I'm like, well, what's the intro? What's the outro? What's it called? And I think we're on a new thing where it's like, we want to have a finished set of series of videos go out to you guys. I think that's how it would actually help you. You go from one chapter to the next to the next instead of waiting for us to maybe we're going to release one that week. Maybe not. A lot of these YouTube channels that actually put content out on the same day weekly, they actually have people who they just outsource it to. Like they'll be like, oh, here, get this done for me.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Hmm.
Well, a lot of the bigger ones, they have people that actually work in-house because they make a lot of money doing it and stuff. But yeah, I could see a lot of edits happening by people that are just.
Yeah, don't name anything.
Yeah, like, no. Well, that and then like no free shout outs.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm sure we've already shouted out 3 or 4 people. So.
Oh.
That's awesome.
That was quite a bit of difference of noise.
What was that? Was that AC or something?
No, that must have been the compressor. So we're right next to our service shop.
Yeah.
Where they repair all sorts of commercial equipment. They also, the only thing we actually manufacture here is our brine pumps. They make them in there. And they were running their air compressor just ended. So,
well, hopefully next time, I don't even know. Maybe we start scheduling with them if we want to come out here again. But then again, it's just like they're doing work.
Yeah.
Compressor you can't really plan for.
It's just going to.
We're going to do our best. Like I said, I'm assuming this will sound great. We did a bunch of tests earlier and stuff. So,
as long as it has been recording. I'll be happy with it.
Recording and in focus. Necessarily in focus isn't even a detour for us if it's not. So
no, and I don't even like. I would hope that the fact that we're shooting this outside, buys us some significant leeway.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of the first things they like show you when you go to school. They'll show you a video clip with like horrible audio, then an audio clip with like horrible video, and you'll pick the one with the poor video over the poor audio every time.
Okay.
Because it's just to you as a viewer, I don't know. It's one's more upsetting to the human stimuli, I guess.
Is that like everybody or is that a you thing?
That's an everybody thing. Yeah. Like if you were watching.
They've done studies on
Okay. If you're plugged in with earbuds and stuff like that, you're not going to listen to the one that has garbled audio.
Fair enough.
Weird.
I can see that because the information that you're trying to get from them.
Yeah,
is,
you can get the gist.
Yes.
Like we used to talk about this. I used to watch NFL games all the time on like a horribly like pirated like 720p monitor.
Right.
It's like, what am I looking? You're like, I'm just getting viruses for whatever, but I can watch us play the Falcons week 4 circa 2007. So I'm just like, oh yeah, I think that was a touchdown. And you have the game cast next to it where it's like,
yep.
Balls in the air, balls in the air, balls in the air, balls in the air, and it's just incomplete 4th and 16. And I go, what?
one of the funny things to me is when we when they replay old like NFC championship games when before we had modern TVs,
oh, man.
It looks so ridiculously bad.
Bad.
But it didn't look that bad at
not
the time.
Not even like
it's just the modern TVs make it look that way.
Okay, yep. I was about to say, I was like,
they make it look that
well, but we still, we even knew that back then. Like, I remember, like, we had CRT TVs, you know, the tube ones, and then we everyone went to flat screen. But there's only a certain amount of people that had flat screen right. back then. But you'd go to, like, the Super Bowl or something, and they would they'd make it look good for the flat screen TV and not the CRT. So we were losing information on the TV,
yep.
even on the ticker. No one even cared. We just knew that's what it was. Yep. Eh, whatever. And nowadays, it's just, like, people would not – my brother won't watch the game if it's not at the quality. And I'm like, dude.
Who cares?
What are you talking about? You used to play Super Nintendo. Like, come on.
Do you remember when they first started like introducing letterbox into TV, and that's the black strips on the top and bottom?
Oh yeah.
People went nuts.
Yeah, it was almost.
Split. I'm not using my.
They're robbing me of that. Yep. Yeah, and it's just like nah.
My father was one of those people.
Was he
not a fan of letterbox?
Yeah, I always see. I'm not a fan of Letterboxd until like you watch like the Blair Witch in Letterboxd, and okay. by letter, like I don't mean just the aspect bars. I mean like they put a square within a black square on the screen. And you're supposed to sit. It's supposed to be intense and scary right. and like found footage. And God, I remember when that came out.
Was that
out.
The first found footage?
No, I think they is Cannibal Holocaust meant to be a found footage film.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's like one from the 70s where the guy got actually had to go to he had to stand trial because they. They thought he
they
was
actually thought he killed him.
Yeah, he had to show them how story. He had him stuck on a
pole.
Yeah,
yeah, so, yeah, I remember that. Well, I think you told me that probably.
Probably, there's probably so many times this happens. We tell each other stories, and I think a friend of mine was telling me once where it's this happened. So
yeah, well, you and I spend a lot of time together.
Yeah,
over the years. How many years have you been here now?
It'll be 3 this upcoming July.
Not bad.
July. I might have started on my birthday. Birthday's July 9th, so. Maybe one of those days. Maybe closer to the 17th or something, but who knows? Great time. Like I said, started part-time and then full-time. And then, just us changing offices or room, it's like revitalized kind of like how we redo and the creative think tank kind of process and stuff like that. So, I don't know. It's cool. I like it.
Well, in the last 2 years, we've gone from shooting things on a little wooden desk with a single camera.
The gray backdrop.
Right in front of a gray backdrop that we literally just created out of metal tubing and a gray vinyl sheet.
Yeah.
Like that's all we
it's
had.
It's not even meant for that.
Then we went and had an entire kitchen. Well, I mean, we made it. I had the cabinets installed, but I did everything else. We made that kitchen.
Yeah.
That's obviously a huge
We've
difference.
Upgraded
we
camera,
started upgrading all the equipment.
It's like 10% at a time. With regards to just like, let's focus upgrading our equipment. Oh, what about the background? Oh, what about the applique? Oh, lights. I mean, we just reclamped lights in a certain spot that like we can set
Which
it
I
and forget
helps.
It. Oh, for sure.
I definitely think that helps.
There's, but once again, you come into a situation like this one, awesome. But like, I can't just start. Hey, here's how we're gonna do it.
Right.
You
Change.
Know, you got to kind of integrate yourself and like. And we're now to a comfortable spot, and I think where it's like enough stuff is cooling down where it's like you can see what's on your plate, I can see what's on my plate, and we can bring in new people, and like we cannot
start offloading.
We could start actually like some of our creative juices we have and start going like, hey, go get that shot, you know, and I could just like bring it back to me. go do this quest and then bring it back to me, and then
get
I'll
points.
And I'll be like, oh, it looks great, and then take credit for it. So
one of the things is like I told you a couple weeks ago or something, I gave you something else to do.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, I know I'm giving you a ton right now.
Yeah.
Like, so if I'm doing too much or if you're not able to meet a deadline, just let me know.
Yeah.
Because it's totally understandable at this point. Because there used to be days where you'd be like, all right, what
do you want me to
what
do?
What can I do?
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
And now it's like, all right, give me an order of importance here.
Yeah, exactly.
What to work
and
on.
But it's almost you got to list your own stuff and then go circle the two most important ones.
That's what you did to me the other
day. I'll work on those because you could stack so much stuff up on your plate you can't even see what you're going to do on a Thursday. And I just for where we're at, like, we want to get content out, but we want it to be the right polished content, because we're, like I said, I'm now going on year 3 here, so we want to have a certain, we want to set a certain bar for ourselves, because if we don't, you know, we got to hold all of ourselves accountable.
Sure. There was definitely a section there a while ago where good enough was good enough.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, whatever.
Well, we got so quick at it.
Right.
Yeah.
It was so formulaic.
We got in a rhythm. We're just like, and now that all that's out there
and
can live on the internet for people to do, and all that's written, now it's like, let's try to get fun. Like, what can we do fun that's also up our wheelhouse, but can keep you guys engaged and hit that trend? I always use the word trend back here, because it's like, no one knew what Instagram or Facebook was going to be the day it started. It takes a while to feel it out. And then, like, I mean, people that like bet on Vine and then it sucked, and then, or not sucked,
it didn't,
but then,
suck. People,
well, then
loved
it gets
it,
reworked, and then all of a sudden now it's something else. Like, I don't know. It's hard to, you just got to hedge your bets with all the stuff you're putting out there and adapt every day, because every day is different.
That was the hardest crab claw known to man.
Yeah.
I can't win. So fun, yes. Obviously entertaining, yes. But the thing I get the most kick out of when we do these videos and on Meatgistics is when we can give them something that's truly going to make a difference in their product. Like, the two things that always pop in my mind are finishing your product, like summer sausage, in water instead of leaving it in the smoker till it's 160, and adding oversized water pan with the automotive sponges.
Two simple, easy things that it would just be a complete oversight.
That they're really simple to do. There's no reason.
I don't like that at all.
What was it?
That last bite. I don't know.
Oh, something bad?
Not good.
They're really simple to do. They'll speed up your process, and they'll give you a better finished product.
Yeah.
We've got somebody beeping at us here who doesn't know what we're doing.
Oh.
It's Mac.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Oh, fine. Yep. Yeah. I'm.
Whoops.
Take down the whole table.
But yeah, I think that's my favorite thing about getting to do what we do.
Those are simple, awesome, quick things that can really change.
That can really help.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, how long did it take you to figure out like the automotive sponge thing? You had to think of it. You went, you know what? I need more area to be wet in the smoker.
That's
and
exactly.
Just like,
what I was...
well, then what's something that's malleable that could absorb water? You go, oh, a sponge
has
like,
a lot of surface.
You go,
I
need a bigger sponge. You go, oh, car sponges. Yep. And it's like, let's try it. And then you put in a chamois. Sham worked just as good, not as good.
No, sham technically worked better. The issue with it was that it takes up an entire rack in your smoker.
Yeah.
So you have to put the oversized pan there, put the chamois in there, and then like lay it out on the rack, either above or below it.
Yeah.
And that takes up a decent amount of space. Now, with the PK100, which is right behind us.
Yeah.
What I started doing was putting the water pan on the drip tray.
Okay.
And then draping it over and putting the chamois on the drip
tray. And letting it just...
Right. That way, I'm not really losing any space.
Yeah.
And that chamois material keeps wicking water towards it. Plus, when we get it laying on that drip tray is hotter than the air around it.
Yeah.
So it does an even better job of evaporating the moisture up off it and getting it up into the air.
Nice. Yeah, I remember when I see you have no fuss with this thing all the time, and it's funny compared to like my simple vertical smoker that I got, and it's just night. I mean, you see the set and forget it qualities of that one compared to like, okay, where's my wind at?
Yeah.
And then my wood chips are all burned up and stuff. You just have it's just trial and error with those things. And then
this is the third Thursday. I can't use.
Yeah. Dude, it is.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
Home smokers can be a challenge for sure.
No one of them are created equal. So.
No, even within the same line, you'll get ones that are just produced different years. Different material.
You'll be on the wrong spot in your deck and it's slightly too windy out. Mm-hmm. Oh, guess what? Your chips are done for.
You're not smoking today.
Yeah, you're not smoking today, or horrible flavor. I mean, but then again, for every one of those, you're just like, I accidentally nailed ribs the first time I tried it. And then I tried to replicate it the next day under a time sensitive manner. No, can't do it. It's just, you got to not try to have.
Was that your like competition?
Yeah, we were doing like a competition rib thing, and I somehow got second.
Well,
and ended up getting the They're giving away like a QT, like $10 card or whatever. And I was like, oh, cool. My dog chewed it up. So, because she knew I didn't deserve the win. So,
I tasted those ribs. They weren't that good.
They sensed it. Yeah. That's, but you know, that's how barbecue going. It goes for me. I just, you can't anticipate anything we do. Like some of our sausage seasonings we think we're going to love, yep, that are still good. And it's just the opposite. And then the ones that, like, why is no one buying this? And then it's one of our favorites. So,
all right. So, give me.
Man,
give me your favorite sausage seasoning.
Oh man, how are we doing on time back there? Good. Okay.
No easy outs for you.
My favorite sausage seasoning. That's almost should be a question every time someone brings on here.
Okay.
Would do, run a graphic. Favorite sausage seasoning.
I don't know if we'll do that, but the graphic sounds okay.
We'll all have to chime in. Favorite. All right, so I remember when we got Hatch green chili.
Yeah,
I liked when that, like, that had anything cheesy with a little bit of spice. That's going to be hard to argue for me because I'm not a huge fan of like our Blue Ribbon and stuff, like, right, our major players, yep, and Chicago, like stuff like that kind of hits me at a weird flavor profile, especially now with my COVID and stuff. But I'm carrying COVID it around with, yes, like in a backpack
my
with
sweet
me
little COVID.
And so that, I think there was an, oh, and then habanero mango. So Hatch green chili and habanero mango are my two, I wouldn't say go-tos, but for me, that's what I want. I want, oh, and if we happen to add a cheese, a high temp cheese. So yeah, I like this, a little bit of the sweet, a little bit of the spicy, a lot of the cheesy.
Okay. That's totally fair answer.
Ooh, and then Supreme Pizza though. That's a good one though.
That is a good one. Especially if we add the pepperoni.
Oh yeah, Supreme. So we did Supreme Pizza. I'm sure you've probably plugged this all the time.
Sure.
Supreme Pizza with the pepperoni actually ground in there with it.
Yep.
It's just, I mean, adds all that extra fat and oily, awesome so vinegar. Good. Like, nope, anything that it is, it just adds to it. It almost helps take out one of the, I don't want to say worst parts of the Supreme Pizza, but just that black olive
yeah, taste.
That little black olive just gets, yep, rid of that.
Kills that.
And then you can add in, if you're crazy, throwing all the cheeses like we did. We melted all the cheeses, did them together, re-chopped them up.
I still think there was value in doing it that way.
I do too.
Because that way you got all four cheese flavors.
It released a level of moisture too that, like, I mean, it was just probably whatever.
You mean from the cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but I mean,
it wasn't
once.
Wasn't bad.
No.
I liked it.
But once you do that, I mean, that moisture is escaped and gone.
Yeah.
So you do kind of make the cheese a little bit drier, but I don't care. It was worth it.
Yeah, it was. I almost want to think, ooh, we should probably try to work in an aged Parmesan or something like that. Can we, do they make other flavors of high temp cheese?
They do. We've tried carrying them and they just don't.
What, like the hot buffalo one? Do they have one of those?
No, they had a sriracha.
Oh, okay.
Which just tasted like ketchup.
Sriracha won't be around in 10 years, I don't think.
Really?
I'll stand on that.
Ooh,
one.
That's a hot take.
That's a good
disagree.
Take.
I think it's getting more popular.
Yeah, I think people are going to turn on it.
Okay. Do you have a
no? It's no, a gut. Just, it's a gut feeling. Well, if I had to, I think it got a big push.
Okay.
About 10 years ago, and I think it's just kind of.
You think it's fizzling?
I think it's a peak and valley thing. I think we'll see. Oh, we want to up our sales this quarter. Throw out the sriracha. I'm kind of one of those guys, every time a mystery flavor was released, it's strawberry kiwi. No matter what it is, if I'm eating it and it's mystery, it's strawberry kiwi. But
that's,
yeah,
what it tastes like too.
I'm usually the guy with the hot takes, and I usually have more support to back it up. The sriracha one is just a gut
feeling. Just a feeling. Okay.
Watch them. They'll probably change the cap from green to something else, and they'll lose everybody.
Nuts.
Yeah, they'll lose everybody. I mean, I saw there was this one guy named Griffin Hammond, who I always follow on. He used to host this YouTube channel called Indie Mogul. Not anymore.
Okay.
I don't know what he does, but he did a documentary about sriracha. And I was like, ooh, nice. But once again, have you ever seen it?
No.
Yeah, got buried. There's no push for it, is what I'm saying. So sriracha, you've came and gone. You're the dinosaur of the sauce world, I think.
I'll say this. I used to see people like wearing sriracha t-shirts and stuff.
Yep.
That's kind of gone away.
Yep.
So maybe you are right.
The novelty of it's gone away.
Maybe it's starting to.
It's not. It's no. Fold. It's no Szechuan sauce, right? Szechuan.
I would say I prefer it over Szechuan sauce.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. I wasn't old enough to have Szechuan sauce.
Oh, you're talking about the stuff from McDonald's?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I never had that either. All right, Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Rick and Morty guy. I mean, I love the show, but I'd be lying if I said I've seen more than like 20 or so episodes. I'm not a hardcore fan with that. The show Freaks and Geeks, on the other hand, though. Oh, God. I love a bunch of shows that John doesn't like. And
you're dating yourself. Here, right?
I'm dating myself.
You look old. You're acting old, Patrick.
Ugh.
All right.
Yeah, we've probably been out here for over an hour. Uh-uh. I mean, we got to come do this again. I'll be here behind the camera every episode.
So. Or back out here.
Yeah, back out here.
Or back out here.
Have to vibe it out and just kind of find a reason to do this again. But
so thanks for stepping in last second.
You're welcome.
Because we gave him literally maybe 10 minutes of warning.
I'm kind of glad I didn't know I was going to do this until this, because I'm kind of one of those, I'll think about it all day. Yeah. What am I going to say? What am I going to say?
You'll get in your own head.
Exactly.
When really it's just us.
It's probably happened
talking.
Twice. When I have horrible short-term memory, so if I'm out here telling a story and it's just bloop. But I had a great time. Thanks for having me, guys.
Awesome. Thanks so much for watching. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Visit waltonsinc.com, meatjustix.com. Find everything but the meat. And if you're watching on Stitcher, Apple, whatever, remember to leave a review. And we will post a more detailed recipe on how we acquire these, what we did with them, and how you can make them at home. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for checking out the Meatjustix podcast. To shop everything but the meat, head on over to waltonsinc.com. And to get your meat processing questions answered by experts and enthusiasts alike, head on over to our online community at meatjustix.com. Walton's, everything but the meat.